Welcome to Steppin' Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Hi everybody, my name's Sue Supriano and I'm at a demonstration in Oakland, California against the war. It's International Human Rights Day and there are demonstrations all over the country. First of all, going to be speaking here with Karen Talbot. Karen is an activist and author for a long time, and I haven't seen you for a while, Karen, and I can imagine, but I'd like you to talk about a little bit about what you're doing and what brought you out here today and what you know about what's going on across the country and in the world.
Okay. If you hi. In two sentences or less.
No, you have a few minutes.
Oh, I'm teasing. I'm here today because I want to be out on the streets with everybody who is opposing this war that Bush is trying to get us into in Iraq and beyond. Today is Human Rights Day, and that has significance insofar as the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and all those covenants passed by the United Nations, which are international law, say that the human right to a job, to housing, to health care, to education, all these things are basic to humanity. Yet we spend that money for war. Trillions of dollars. So that's another reason why we need to be protesting this insane drive to war on part of Bush and those behind him and around him. So I really feel that even though he seems bound and determined to wage this war, and we have to be sure we understand that it's not about weapons of mass destruction, it's not about democracy, it's about oil, which more and more people are understanding. In fact, I would submit, and this is what a lot of my articles are about, that it's about oil most places. It was about oil to a large extent in Afghanistan, because there's a pipeline they're trying to build through Afghanistan. No time to go into that. But Venezuela, what is going on in Venezuela today, which the U.S. really supports, and I think it will be shown, is like they were behind, the government was behind the overthrow of Allende. There, I think history will show that the U.S. is supporting this attempt to overthrow Chavez. Because of the oil, because they are demanding in Venezuela, the poor people who elected him by landslide victories are demanding that the money from that resource, that oil, go to the people, go to the country, not to the oil companies as it has in the past. Anyway, I got off on a tangent here.
Well, it's not really a tangent because it's all connected, of course, yes. And maybe people will start making the connections that they're in this country too, that their economic situation is totally related to where the money's going, and people need to get these connections, so we can't say them enough.
Yeah, when we've got people in this country, more and more people becoming unemployed, I can't believe that we're beginning to pull out of a recession, as they say, because every day I read hundreds of thousands of people are being laid off, and no jobs are being created, and there's no... The safety net is eroded, and the money, again, is going for war. And people have to understand that. That's how it touches their life. And then their sons and daughters will go and possibly be killed or injured in these wars. Although Bush and others in the government have been very adept at using surrogate forces in other countries to fight our wars. But they're sending our troops over there this time. They're already there. The weaponry is there. And but we can stop it. And that's what is being said here. The overwhelming majority of the people of the world, and even the governments, are opposed to this. That some of the governments cave in on one time or another, it has to do with bribery and that sort of thing that is offered them. And the opposition of the French and the Russians and the Chinese, but particularly the French and the Russians in the United Nations, to the plans of the United States have been largely based on their own interests in Iraq, which are oil interests. They have an agreement with Hussein to develop the oil in this second largest reserves of oil in the world, and they think there are many more there than they even know about. And so it's key to controlling the world, to control that oil, because oil is the engine that runs the whole economy of the world.
And it especially runs the military. Yes. I heard that a huge percentage of the oil actually is used to make more war.
Yes, that's true. In fact, it's not just a huge amount. It's the highest amount of oil is used by the military. And some people will say, well, yes, it's about oil, but we need that oil. They're defending it for the United States consumers. But they're not interested in the consumers. They're interested in making profits. Because if they were interested in the consumers, they wouldn't be wasting it on the military. They wouldn't be resisting and opposing and obstructing developing other sources of energy. They want to sell that oil any place they can sell it, including they're very much set on selling it to China and to Asia, which is energy hungry. So it's not just the U.S. This is very much driving them, but also what is driving the policies of the Bush administration is the desire to have hegemony over the whole world, to be an empire, and no longer do they hide this. I mean, for a long time, those of us in the peace movement were admonished if we use the word imperialism, but now the pundits use that word. They say, yes, we're an empire, but we're a benevolent empire, supposedly. And this was laid out very, very specifically in a book by Zbigniew Brzezinski called The Grand Chessboard. And he wrote that about 4 or 5 years ago, and it lays out the whole plan to take over. First, Eurasia is key, and its resources, its people, its population, its land mass, etc. And then that's key to taking over the whole world. So it is imperialism.
And that we also have to remember outer space. They also want the weapons in space. And they're it wouldn't be too surprising that we get something kind of... The next phase is to whip up the fear against something from outer space so that they can, get their military out there, too. It already is, but even more.
It is already there. And what is so astounding is they admit these things now. In their material on the Space 2001, they say, we want to control Earth. We want full-spectrum dominance. Military dominance. That means space in the first place, and all the air, the land, the undersea, whatever, but space in particular. In order to control space means the ability to control Earth, to protect our investments. They say it openly. And so that's what it's all about. And investments and interests of the United States are driving the policies, but it's not helping the American people. We're paying in so many ways, in taxes, in loss of jobs, in economic insecurity, and certainly the peoples of the world are. I mean, the billions that are poor, So that's why I'm here. I'm here with all these wonderful people, and they're, by the way, these kinds of things are happening, as all over. They're happening and Vallejo. Did you know they have weekly vigils in Vallejo near here, near on the East Bay?
That's a town up the... I mean, Oakland and Berkeley, the East Bay, are kind of noted for activism, mm-hmm. but Vallejo isn't. And I heard there's demonstrations in Hayward. I just heard 18 people were arrested in Chicago just the last hour ago or something like that. I think they're all over the country. And you can go to unitedforpeace.org, I think it is, all one word, on the internet, unitedforpeace.org. That's all one word, .org, and find out where there might be, really get a sense of that this is a movement, because, of course, it's, people don't understand that it's a movement, and especially if they're not a place where there are a lot of activists, like the East Bay, San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland
Point
here.
Point Richmond the other day. I spoke at a teach-in in Sonoma the other day, so... I'm encouraged by that, and we have to keep it up. So we, even though he's bound and determined, he being Bush, and it's not just Bush, I want to emphasize that. It's the whole powers behind him, Wall Street, a lot of Wall Street is behind him, is to go to war. But we can stop it. And, you know, you ask what I'm doing. I'm writing about these things. I'm writing in various publications, Covert Action Quarterly, the new newspaper up in Sonoma called the North Bay Progressive, the Peace Worker in Oregon, and a lot of publications all over the world. But, you know, it's getting out, but it's not getting out enough.
Well, this is an international show, so if you want to say some other publications in other places, that'd be fine.
In other places?
If you want to.
I'm not sure the names of the publications, how to pronounce them, but my articles have been translated into Spanish. Many articles have been translated into Spanish in publications in South America. The major paper in Dhaka, Bangladesh, published my article on Afghanistan. They're Greek, Portuguese, Russian, Korean, Japanese. I'm really pleased about that. We need our alternative media people like you and all of us to really get the word out, and it is getting out.
And you too. Well, thank you so much, Karen Talbot. And I'm going to just let you hear some of the sounds of this demonstration. Of course, you've been hearing him in the background anyway. Let's see, there's some signs. Mumia versus Ridge, Democracy, Homeland Security. Oh, and then something in Spanish, in German, which I cannot understand. This one just says, No War in Iraq, Global Exchange. Big one saying, No Blood for Oil. Here's another big, huge poster of a big warship saying, USS Blood for Oil. That's the name of the ship. Here's another huge one. Iraqi children are not, quote, collateral damage, unquote. And then there's gravestones, many, many of them, of pictures of children who are starving and wounded and dead. It's quite terrible, and of course, all too much what is the case. And of course, we don't see those pictures on the corporate media. Here's another one. 1.5 million Iraqi dead. Your tax dollars at work. No new war against Iraq. Paid for by U.S. tax money. That's written on a picture of a bomber. Another one, no guns to Israel. War is terrorism. No more Palestinian and Iraqi blood for oil. Talking about a vigil.
A demonstration tonight and an all-night vigil with the homeless people in Richmond, because the city council has, a year ago today, made it a crime to sleep on the street if you're homeless.
So we're talking about how everything is connected here. This man is a member of Veterans for Peace.
So I want to thank all my comrades and friend veterans, and I want to invite any other veterans who aren't out there, who aren't members of Veterans for Peace, to come and see me afterwards, because I got a sign-up form for you. Now what I want to talk about are the chicken hawks in Washington. when George W. Bush was in the Texas Air National Guard, he was gone from his duty station for 14 months. That's called desertion. Dick Cheney, when asked, what did you do in Vietnam? Why weren't you in the military? He said, I had other priorities. I bet a dime to a dollar that there's 58,000 plus names on a wall in Washington that could have figured out other priorities. You know, Trent Lott was the head cheerleader at the University of Mississippi, and he had the same deferment as Bill Clinton. Trent Lott also helped defend segregation in the early 60s while he was a student at Ole Miss. So it surprised me not at all that the other day he said he would have voted for Strom Thurmond had he been around in 1948. He'd probably vote for Strom or somebody just like him right now if he got a chance. Maybe he did. But anyway, I want to say that all these chicken hawks, they don't mind shedding the last drop of somebody else's blood for oil. Now, there's one thing, I'm going to make this short, but I want everybody here to know that we used to call it back during the Vietnam War and before that, we always talked about American imperialism. In fact, going as far back as the Spanish-American War, people like Mark Twain talked about American imperialism. That term seems to have gotten lost over the years, but it's still as relevant today as it ever was. We want to be the new Rome, the new imperial power that not only controls the politics of the world, but controls everything about the world. And I'm going to end this by saying, you know, when you talk about things like 9/11, 9/11 was not an attack on the citizens of the United States. It was an attack on symbols of U.S. global domination, of U.S. imperialism. The World Trade Center, the symbol of U.S. economic domination. The Pentagon, the symbol of U.S. imperialistic military domination. And the third plane in Pennsylvania was supposed to hit the White House, the symbol of U.S. political domination. So we have to come together, we have to say like General Hoar, who relieved Schwarzkopf after the last Gulf War, said, our task right now is to convince the over 1 billion Muslims in this world that we really do believe in freedom, independence, and justice. Thank you. Stop the war in Iraq.
Okay, well, that was a speaker from Veterans for Peace, and we are here in Oakland, California at a demonstration on International Human Rights Day, and it's in front of the federal building, and it is against the war. It's not really a war. It's more like an attack, if you ask me. And I now have with me here Marlene Crone, who's holding a sign that says 95% of all casualties in war are women and children. That's a United Nations report, 1997. Real heroes do not murder women and children. 95% of all casualties in war are women and children. So how did you come to be here, Marlene, and holding this sign?
Okay, I'm with Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And as women, we know that we suffer most casualties in war. Our children are killed.
Marlene Crone, we just had a little technical difficulties here. So if you would like to continue, start talking about the World Conference.
Okay. The World Conference Against Racism, Xenophobia, and Related Intolerances in Durban, South Africa in 2001. One of the reasons that 73 nations met, over 250,000 people, was to stop just what we're trying to stop now, and that's global war. Delegates returned on September the 11th to a country that was changed on that very day. We were returning full of hope and courage, and we were met with the devastation that we were trying to prevent at the Indian Ocean.
Well, and all these things, we're talking here a lot about how it's all, you know, everything's related. And certainly racism seems to play into what's going on now. Do you want to comment on that at all?
Of course. one of the things I see as an African American woman is that racism plays a large part in wars. We've seen that from the war in Vietnam. We saw that from World War II. We saw it in World War I. We're seeing it here. It's peoples of one nation against peoples of another nation. There's no question sometimes why the people are people of color and what devastation is heaped upon them as people of color. As we fought in Germany, we did not drop a hydrogen bomb. However, we did twice in Japan.
And then, and there's also a lot of brutality going on here, a lot of hate violence. I just heard a statistic about how much it's growing in the United States against anybody who could possibly might be Arab, Muslim, which could be just about anybody who's not white, basically. And of course, there are plenty of white Muslims, but that's not who gets picked on, as you're saying.
Yes, yeah. No, it isn't. I live in a community that I guess you could call multicultural. We have Afghani people on our block. We have Fijians. I'm African American. We have a Dutch couple, and we have a Chinese couple. And we find that the people of color in our little court are waving more flags because they are frightened of being singled out as not patriotic. And it's sad to see.
Yeah, really. Yeah, this flag thing can be confusing because I think it's the immigrants who had them up like in 2 seconds flat for fear. So it's, we can't even, so many things are upside down and backwards these days. Well, thank you very much, Marilyn.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Well, here we have another guest, and you have to say your name because I didn't. Although I've known you for a while, I couldn't get it all right.
Greetings. This is Brother Jahahara Al-Kebulan Ma'at, and I've just returned to the Bay Area. Greetings to all of the family. I'm the national co-chair of NCOBRA, National Coalition of Blacks for Reparations in America. And, of course, we're here because we're definitely for peace, and we're definitely against war, and we're definitely against terrorism. We feel that African people have been victims of terrorism for over 500 years. And so, of course, we're here to support that and to support the growing movement for peace and justice. We say stop the wars at home and abroad.
Absolutely.
And let's fight for justice together. Reparations now, peace and justice for everyone. Thank you, sister, for all your work, and peace and blessings to you as well.
Well, thank you. And again, yet another more and more connections. It's all connected.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you, Jahara.
In unity, we shall win.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. And then next, we're going to be speaking here with Chris Michael. I understand that you work with Global Exchange, Chris, and that you have an idea of what's going on all over the country. We are here in Oakland, California, as we speak. But I know this is in this International Day of Human Rights that there are demonstrations all over the country. So that's what I know. Tell me more.
Well, there is a coalition, a network formed called United for Peace. And United for Peace is made up of 100 national and international organizations that are working for peace and justice in stopping this war on Iraq and defending our civil liberties. And we put out a call with the Pledge of Resistance on International Human Rights Day for local communities to do any kind of action, a direct action, whether it's a teach-in, a rally, or a direct civil disobedience like what happened in Chicago earlier today. In over 35 states and over 200 communities around the country, people are rising up and expressing their opposition against war in creative ways. For example, in South Dakota, they're having what's called Bushels of Peace. And there are bushels of postcards and letters that have been handwritten for President Bush that people are going to meet at the city hall there, and they are going to collectively distribute all their bushels and go to the post office. People are making sure that they let the federal government know of their opposition, and their targets are the federal government. In Massachusetts, in rural Massachusetts, in over 8 major intersections and various routes, as we all know in New England, there's all these routes and highways, there are people doing banner drops all day and night, regardless of the weather. In Austin, Texas, they dropped a banner that was over 30 feet long over the main highway to express their opposition. There's direct action.
Texas.
In Texas. Oh, this is all throughout the Midwest. And people, you know, a lot of people think that the Midwest, I'm from Kansas, and people in Kansas are doing actions in Salina, Kansas, preparing for when Herbert Walker Bush comes to town. So people are all over the country, in Alaska, Hawaii. Students are rising up on over 150 college campuses around the country. People are not sitting by, and we are not waiting for the bombs to drop. People are taking action. saying no war in Iraq, no war in Iraq, defend our civil liberties, and stand in opposition before the Bush administration gets his way. We are not going to let this happen, and we're laying our bodies on the line day in, day out to make sure that people in our communities get educated, they get connected with peace and justice movement, and they make a difference for domestic issues and for international issues to change U.S. foreign policy. And so, just to highlight, so in Boston, Massachusetts, high school students met. Senator Kennedy gave them the letter of recommendation, or not recommendation, but gave them a letter signing off to express his support of their action. High school students all throughout Boston have united. They held a press release. They're going to Copley Square today to hold a big rally. All throughout Maine, New England, Vermont, New Hampshire. I could just start listing off the states. It's beautiful. Michigan, South Dakota, North Dakota, Kansas, Wyoming, Laramie, Wyoming, which is great, making an opposition in Cheney's home state. All throughout Texas, incredibly creative actions going on through Texas. And then all throughout the Pacific Northwest and up into Alaska, where school students at Hawaii, or I mean in Alaska at Fairbanks and Anchorage, are both doing direct action with die-ins and rallies and teach-ins. So it's all across the country. Nobody's taking this lightly, and we're rising up, and we hope you all will join us and act in your local communities.
And you can go to www.unitedforpeaceoneword.org. And, well, that's really great, and I know that people often don't have any sense of how much of a movement there is, and they feel isolated, so it's wonderful to have this information.
I just want to say one more thing. What United for Peace is offering is it's basically the one-stop shopping for the anti-war movement, and we encourage local organizers, which there are hundreds on the web, for if you're in your community, you want to plug in with other local organizers, you want to be a local organizer, sign up on unitedforpeace.org. Any events, whether it's a teach-in, talking to your congressional representative, passing an anti-war resolution in your community or through your labor union, whatever it is, guys, it is up to us. We need to use all of our tools that we have available to us to effect change. So go to United for Peace, plug in with people in your community, and get educated, and let's make this happen. We are going to stop this war. We can do it. United, we can stop this war, and we can defend our civil liberties and rise up for domestic and international issues.
Thank you very much, Chris. Chris Michael from Global Exchange. And I'm going to sign off here. It looks like the demonstration has come to an end here in Oakland, California, here December 10th, International Day of Human Rights. My name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.